Then you returned home to Oklahoma to be an advisor to Governor
Anna Tubby,
governor of the Chickasaw Nation. And you've been given the task of development of long-term economic development plans and policy. You were appointed to the board of directors of Bank 2, which is owned by Chickasaw Nation. You're chairman of the board for Chickasaw Nation Industries. You are a busy guy, aren't you?
I'm gainfully employed, yeah.
Chickasaw Nation opened the first tribally owned CNG fueling station in Oklahoma, compressed natural gas in Ada, for your fleet of cars. Tell us about that a little bit.
I'm a strong believer in CNG, and I probably was the motive force in getting that. But the governor made the policy that Chickasaw Nation is we're going to convert our fleet to CNG. Migrate our fleet is probably a better word. You've watched the commercials. It burns cleaner than anything except electricity. And if you take the carbon footprint to generate the electricity, it probably burns as clean as electricity does. It's abundant. In the last 5 years, we've doubled the amount of gas reserves that are economically recoverable. We have a reserve for 100 years in front of us. And it's American. We're not dependent upon some alien country that may not be benevolent to us. And it helps us economically, nationally, because if we can switch a lot of our economy over to natural gas, the price of a barrel of oil won't be driving our economy. You know, we'd be beholden to Arab states for billions of dollars. So it's environmentally sound. It's economically sound. It's good for our national security. And I promise you, it's good for Oklahoma.
For those future generations who will listen to our conversation, here we are in 2011, just now trying to educate public about natural gas, including our elected officials, because it's easier now to break the natural gas through from the shales we're drilling into.
Yes.
Because we were able to drill horizontally, a relatively new technology, I guess, for the oil industry, we're able to fracture those shales, and then we release this natural gas. Do you see the future then in the next 10, 20 years that we're going to see CNG fueling stations all up and down?
It's already happening. On cue, right out of River City, America, is already building natural gas CNG stations. There's one in my hometown of Edmond. They built about five in Oklahoma City. Love's Country Store is going to build about a dozen that they think they'll have operational by the end of spring, up and down the interstate, largely. ONG started this 20 years ago. Almost every ONG maintenance facility has a public pump for CNG. You don't have to go in. You just pull up like a service station. Now, you have to have a credit card, but it'll take Visa or whatever. It's very convenient. And ONG sells theirs for 85 cents equivalent gallon. The commercial outfits like OnQ and Love sell theirs for $1.39 a gallon, which is still a whole lot better than $3.50 a gallon. And your car, if it gets 20 miles a gallon, you'll continue to get about 20 miles a gallon. It doesn't raise your mileage. It just makes it cost less. The key is to have more fueling stations, like a chicken and an egg issue. There aren't more cars burning CNG because there's not enough stations to refuel at. And there's not enough stations because there's not the economic demand from the cars. So these leaders like OnQ and Love's and others, and I was proud that the Chickasaws took the lead because we had to dig down in our jeans for $500,000 to make one of those installations with no help from anybody, thank you. But it was essential. There wasn't a CNG station within 30 miles of us. So we had to do that.
Don't you think, too, that one of the driving forces of this will be the automobile manufacturers making more models available using natural gas?
They'll do that when they feel the demand's there. They've gone backwards in the last few years. In the early 90s and mid-90s, both Ford and Chevrolet were making a dedicated, meaning it weren't only natural gas, engine. Neither one of them knew now. The only manufacturer in the world that we have available here is a Honda that makes a dedicated CNG engine. But that's not the answer. The answer is converting to where you can burn either natural gas or unleaded gas until there's more stations. I drove a Honda for a long time. You drive around white knuckle afraid you can run out of gas. And when you're out of gas in a dedicated car, you are out of gas. I mean, you don't pick up a 5 gallon can and walk down to the closest service station. So I'm driving a dual fuel converted in Paulette sitting out there in front of us where we are right now. I get 30 miles to the gallon. A gallon of gas costs me about $1.40. My fuel costs are like 4 cents a gallon. A Tahoe, which I used to drive, it gets 15 miles to the gallon. And a gallon of gas at $3.50, my fuel costs are 21 cents per mile. For a long time, the EPA really discouraged CNG because they had to certify the kits that go in the conversions, and it cost about $150,000 to certify a kit. And you had to get it recertified every make, every model, every year. It just was designed to discourage conversions to CNG. Now, they don't even give the tax credit. Chris Binge passed a bill when he was Speaker of the House that gave a state tax credit that's very, very beneficial. We're attracting people from out of state. CNG Interstate from Utah is an example. It's moved in here making these conversions, not on EPA certified. That doesn't certify the safety. It certifies the emissions. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that CNG is going to burn a lot cleaner than unleaded gasoline.
So students listening to us 20 years from now, they'll probably see far more use of natural gas, but they will still have our regular unleaded gas and electricity, and all three of them will be
options.
Right.